Really do. I believe I was kind of milling around my soul a whole lot more than the other one was at this time in John. So I want you to go to Mark chapter 1. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 1. And I was going to be in John 5 possibly this morning, but I feel like I'm supposed to be in Mark 1. And I've preached this message. I know I've preached it here, and I know I have. I know I preached it at Brother Shipman's meeting when he was having Mississippi Delta camp meeting down there. It was years ago. In fact, it was the first year that I was there that I preached it, because I recall Susan Morrow said to her husband, he had to go to church that night and preach at his church that night, so it was a Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken, that I preached it. The reason I remember is because Brother Mike wasn't there, and Sister Susan said, "You missed a real message. Your Brother Rutherford preached a great message." And I thought, I don't deserve that compliment. But she said she'd never heard nothing like it. And I said, "Well, I've never really preached that way before, really, to be honest with you. God just sat down on the truths that were in that text." And I feel like the Lord's led me back there again. As I said, I went back and I started pulling some old messages out of my files, and God began to put His finger back on them again. I've been preaching them at my church, and I preached this very message at my church a few weeks back. So if any of you get any of the CDs from our church, then you'll hear it again on CD if you listen to them. But that means you'll get it here and you'll get it from there, and I'm sure that God will give you something out of both places if you really want something. And I feel like I'm supposed to preach this morning, because I believe I need to tell y'all to begin this meeting that Jesus can. Amen. He can. Yes, sir. It's not a I can't. My daddy used to say, "Can't died in jail." Well, I didn't know what that meant exactly, but I realized that I wasn't supposed to say can't. Uh-huh. I'm supposed to say I can. But I'm here to tell you Jesus can. Amen. There's some things I can't do. But I read it just this morning. It's a sad thing when a saint would say, "I can do all things." And that's a terrible thing for you to say and not say the rest of it through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the only way you're ever going to be able to do all things, is through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Amen. And I remembered hearing that story about that man that had a bus that he traveled in, and it had them airbags in it. And he would get to the place where he got, and one of them had a bad leak in it. But they always leaked all the way down when you got parked, but one would leak down real fast, and the bus would be down like this, and before the other one got down. And about all night long, they had to sleep like that in the bed. And he said, but then the next day, the other one would come down and equal with it. He said, but the only thing that kept that one thing from going down when they was driving was it was always a pump going into it.
Yeah.
It's always pumping air into it. And that's the reason it never went down. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, unless you got something pumping in you all the time, you're going down.
That's right.
But if you got, "I can do all things through Christ," thank God. If He's the one who's the pump in your life, and that well of water is springing up and it keeps a pumping in you,
Amen.
You ain't going to pump down.
Amen.
You're going to stay pumped up. And there ain't no reason to get parked and stop somewhere unless God's got you somewhere to do something for a while. But He'll keep the motor running to keep it pumped up. That's what I'm planning on this week. Y'all hearing me?
Amen.
I'm wanting you to know that Jesus can.
Amen.
But now there's also another right way to know that He can, and it's not to take any glory of your own ever. God does not share His glory with any man. He'll right. give you His glory, but He won't let you have any in yourself.
Right.
Let Him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Jeremiah said, if there's any glory in this. Not that a man has strength or that a man has wealth, but that he knows me and understandeth me. So don't go out here saying you can't understand God, because the Word of God in Jeremiah says that you can glory in this, that you can understand me, and there's only one way you can. That's for God to open your eyes, according to Matthew 13. Everybody that has understanding gets converted, according to Matthew 13. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Everybody that comes to understanding gets converted, according to Jesus in Matthew 13. You see? You hear, then you see, then you understand, then you get converted. And that's the divine sequence in the Word of God. You have to hear it first. Then you have to see it. you spiritually see it. I'm not talking about with these eyes, but there's things you see. And then you come to an understanding, and God opens your eyes and opens your ears to understand, and then, boom, you can get converted. And that's God's way. Now, we're here this morning, I hope, to help you. I hope for you to get help. I hope you came for that reason. I hope you came to hear again some truth out of the Word of God that'll help you to get where you feel like you need to get, where you feel like you ain't got yet.
Amen.
Anybody here feel like you ain't got there yet?
Yep.
Anybody here feel like you need to get somewhere where you ain't got yet?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, I'm seeing a few hands here and there.
Yep.
So then some of you need to get somewhere.
Yep.
And I want you to be able to get there by the help of God. It's the only way you're going to get there. So Mark chapter number 1, stand with me while I read my text this morning. I'm going to start in verse number 38. And I got these new glasses, and sometimes they kind of just get a little blurry in one spot. So you're going to have to, I'm supposed to look at you with them too, but you get too blurry when I look up. So I take them off, but then I look down and it's blurry again. So I'm trying to get used to them. I only had them for a couple weeks, and they're kind of a little bit... This morning, I got to wait until my eye focuses on it. So verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth.
Right.
And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, there's devils in the church. I'm telling you, I believe that.
Sure.
And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, I want you to see that. That's going to stand out here in a little bit. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and blazed abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach from these verses today and just simply preach on Jesus can.
Yeah.
Jesus can. Let's pray. Father, I want to ask you to help me today. I need to even hear that you can do some things again. You've done things in my life that I found out you can do, that others said you couldn't do, and that wouldn't happen. It couldn't happen. It's impossible. There's no way. And Lord, I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
And Lord, I want to ask you today to help somebody to get this truth down in their soul that Jesus can.
Yeah.
And Lord, that they're in such a dilemma, in such a shape, if he doesn't do it, they're going to be in bad trouble. They're going to get worse, not better.
Yep.
So Lord, I'm asking you to help them today. Open the eyes of the blind, Lord. Open the hearts of sinners like you opened the heart of Lydia. And pour in the good gospel message, the good news. And I believe the good news today is that Jesus can. That he can heal them of their sinful leprosy.
Yeah.
That he can take the guilt and the shame and the terrible disease away from them that's killing them and sending them to hell.
Yeah.
And I believe, Lord, that you can do that for them. I believe, God, also there's saints here today that need to know that you can do something, that you're not, your arm's not shortened that it cannot save, and your ear's not heavy that it cannot hear.
Right.
So, Lord, I'm asking you today to help saints, help us saints to trust you this week also and this morning. Something, Lord, that we want to see, and we believe that you can. I know it's going to take you to do it. Lord, it's been a long time with some of them, been a long time, been difficult, been hard, been strenuous, not just on them, but on me to even find more places, God, in your word to help them when I'm here.
Yeah.
I believe that's what you want me to do.
Amen.
I believe you want me to follow you. Lord, the only way I know to follow you is that verse of Scripture sticks out in my mind right now. The Son of Man came not but to seek and to save that which was lost.
Uh-huh.
And Lord, I'm glad you came to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm asking you, Lord, today, I know that you're still in the seeking business too. Lord, I know you seek those that are lost. And Lord, sometimes they think their seeking ain't good enough, and they ain't seeking right. Well, they probably ain't, and it ain't good enough. Yep. But Lord, I'm glad that you haven't quit seeking for
Amen.
Them
Amen.
And haven't quit searching for lost sheep and hearing them bleating in the Lord, while they're away and while they can't find their way back. I pray you'd help them, Lord. I pray you'd help them save them. I pray, God, you'd strengthen the saints today. Give us revival. We need to be touched by you again. We need your touch. We need your help. I need your help. I pray, God, that you'd give me what I need. Thank you for those who've come to hear today.
Yep.
Thank you for those who've come to hear the preaching. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'd open their ears. And thank you, Lord. I'll thank you for it. Help them to thank you for it. And now I plead the blood of Jesus. Ask you to bind the forces of evil. Lord, put us that we're a vacuum about it. So might your angels come and minister to this place today. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm sure that most of you already are familiar with some of the doctrines of leprosy. I've never personally seen a leper except in pictures. I've never, I wouldn't say been privileged, because I'm afraid that it wouldn't be much of a privilege. They're very sickly looking people. And in the Bible, they had to live in a quarantined condition. They were not allowed to be around anybody that was clean. Now, this is a story of grace, because this man was a leper, and according to the description of the day that Jesus preached in, those that were associated with the synagogue would have known that the law of God said they were not allowed to be there. So why was this man even there? Why was he close by anybody that was clean? How could he have even been close enough to have Jesus say something to him and touch him? He had to be pretty close for Jesus to touch him. Well, I guess my question is, how close are you? Are you close enough to hear his word and to have his touch? And the only way I know that you're going to be close enough is to approach.
That's right.
Make your approach. And I still believe that he's an approachable God. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Would you be here if you didn't believe that? I mean, would you keep coming back? Would you keep listening to crazy loud somebody telling you how bad you are and what you need? Yeah. You're going to keep coming back if that. Well, I'll tell you what now. I'd just give up on it if it was in my flesh. I've heard enough bad stuff about me. Somebody said, well, that Bible's just written about by men. I got news for you, friend. Anybody that wrote about men always write nice stuff, and that book ain't got much nice to say about men.
That's right.
Ain't got much nice at all to say about men. Hello?
Right.
You read it. I was talking last night. Sister Jenny said her mom was reading through Ezekiel and it's about to kill her. And she just ain't getting it. And the only thing I know about Ezekiel, when you read it, it ain't nothing about but judgment against that which has been wrong. It's a whole book of judgment. But there are those that he sat with, that he sat where they sat, and he knew what they were going through in their captivity, and he felt their pain, and he felt what they was going through. And God used him to help them in their captivity. He used a man of God to help them while they was captive by the enemy. Anybody here captive by the enemy right now? He got you up in a corner. He's hemmed you in, and he ain't letting go, and he's fighting you like a saber saw, and he's not letting up on you. I got news for you. He ain't gonna let up on you. Pharaoh didn't let him go easy. He made it hard for him to get out. But when God got done with him, God made it hard on him, and he was glad to see him go.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when the enemy says, get out of my way and get out of my life, I don't want to see you no more, you can say, thank God I'm getting that Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That'll make some of you, I'll make everybody say amen.
Amen.
You need to open your jaw up a little bit. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to force it, amen. I'll tell you what, when the devil has to flee, when he can't be around no more, it's when Jesus is close by.
Right. That's right.
He's going to fight you till the day you die. Even if you get saved, he's going to fight you.
Yes, sir.
Thank God, though, in Luke 4, when Jesus had been tempted for them 40 days and 40 nights, it says he left him for a season. And, buddy, those seasons he's been gone, I've had a good time.
Yeah! Buddy, when I ain't having to fight him all the time, somebody said, I'm fighting the devil by the acre. I said, I'm fighting him by 10 or 15 at a time sometimes. But you know what? When he ain't around, I know when he ain't around. Buddy, when he ain't around, all the slats are kicked out, and I'm gonna enjoy myself when he ain't bothering me for a while. And I'll tell you what, you all need that. You hear me? Y'all need that. All that pressure. God ain't gonna save me. God can't save me. I'm too bad. I've gone too far. I'm too far gone. I don't even feel nothing no more and all that. And the devil will lay that on your shoulder and he'll make you feel like a hound dog sucking eggs. And he'll make you feel like ain't no hope for you and God.
That's right.
Well, you tell him he's a liar. You say, why don't you tell him? Because I ain't close enough by him right now.
That's right.
I'm trying to get close enough to Jesus to where you know you can hear what he says, and when he speaks, he'll touch you.
Yeah. Amen.
I like a touch of God. I've had it. And I miss it when it ain't around. But always when his touch is around, according to this scripture and other scriptures I'm going to take you to if I get time, every time he ever has his word around, there's a hope for a touch. If you can hear his word, there's hope for a touch. I'm going to say this to you. He said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you.
Right.
You ever been that close to God, you knew it. Nobody had to tell you.
Right.
Well, I don't know that I've been that close. Then you ain't been. More than likely. Then again, he could be standing on shore hollering like he did to those on the boat, and you not even know it's him, or like the two on the road to Emmaus, and he talked to them, they didn't know it was him. He was that close, but they didn't even know it was him. Until he reveals himself to you, you don't know it. But when he does, you can know it.
Amen.
And that's how you'll know it. Now leprosy then is a type of sin. Leprosy lives in the body before it ever shows up on the outside of it. It's kind of like measles. A kid will get a fever, and he'll get tired acting, he'll get feverish, and then you won't know there's what's wrong with him. You'll think, well, maybe he's just got a little cold, or maybe flu's going around. And then all of a sudden, these red spots start bumping up and down on his skin. And you look at him a certain way, and I don't know the difference between chicken pox and measles. They both come out about the same. They pop out on the skin. Well, leprosy does the same thing. And leprosy lives on the inside before it shows up on the outside. Now, I don't know how bad off this man was altogether, but in another portion of Scripture in the book of Luke, it says this man in Luke 5, I believe it is where it's mentioned, it says that he was full of leprosy. It's the same story, same man in the synagogue. Said he was full of leprosy. Now, I'll tell you what, when you get real full of what you're wrong with, nobody has to tell you you're bad off no more.
Right.
And here's what's wrong with some sinners. Especially religious sinners have a hard time seeing themselves full of sin, full of leprosy.
Right.
Because they go to church and they read their Bible and they listen to the preacher and they give their tithes. And you say, well, I'm just going to quit doing that if it ain't going to help me. Well, you're stupid if you do.
That's right. Right.
You're crazy. You don't stop doing right.
That's right.
You don't stop doing right. Mm-hmm. That's the most foolish thing in the world you could do. So here's a leper. I don't know how he knew about Jesus altogether. In fact, this is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. But there was another fella, he was a Baptist preacher. Y'all remember, familiar with that guy?
That's right.
He was a Baptist.
That's right.
He wasn't John the Catholic.
That's right.
I went by a church one time and said, John the Baptist Catholic Church. That can't be. But anyways, that's what they called it. But it just can't be. Those two don't mix. They're like oil and water.
Right.
You know, they just don't mix. But they're trying to put them together. And you know, you're in trouble when you get oil and water mixed in your engine. You get antifreeze in your oil, you're going to get messed up. Man, I can only imagine it was all messed up in that place. But I don't know what all he'd heard. I don't know what all he'd heard, but he'd heard enough. Now say, what did he hear? Well, he must have known that Jesus was the Lord.
Amen. Right.
He must have known it. So, well, now, well, it doesn't say nothing about it in them verses that he knew he was the Lord. Well, not in them verses it don't say it.
But he did say, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And there's one thing that anybody who knows the Lord knows, that it's up to the Lord if it's going to get done. Amen. If thou wilt. In other words, he knew that he was the one in control. If he was going to get fixed, God was going to have to do it, and that Jesus was the one who would have to do it. He couldn't do it himself. He couldn't demand it from him. He couldn't say, all right, God, you got to do it or you ain't fair. He couldn't say that. He didn't say that. You don't talk God that way. You come under the authority of the Lord. You don't come up to God like you're going to punch him in the jaw and tell him he's got to do something. You are at his will. You are at his will.
That's right.
And I know that. I know that man knew that. Now, there's a lot of things. I didn't have this truth. I didn't have these verses of truth right there to hit me in the jaw that day. Not those verses in particular. But I did know that night if I was going to get saved, he's going to have to do it because I'd tried so many times and it didn't work.
Right.
I knew that much that night. And so he says, well, how much you got to know? You got to know enough.
Right. That's right.
You say, well, that's an easy thing to say. Well, this man knew enough, and I'm going to show you what enough was for him. Right. Mm-hmm. Enough was for him that he knew he wasn't in control. I got news for you. He's sovereign. God is sovereign. And I'm going to say something about that in grace. He's sovereign in grace. He made the sun come up this morning, and he's just as sovereign in doing that as he is in saving your soul. He's the sovereign God of heaven. You don't make God do nothing. You don't manipulate God. He ain't going to be like your husband. I mean, he ain't going to be... He ain't going to fool him by manipulation. Amen.
Amen.
Don't look at me like that, ladies. I ain't your enemy.
Right.
The only other one I know that's real good at manipulating somebody in authority is kids. Well, anyways, I ain't mad at you. I know the way things work. I've been married 36 years. I'm sorry, 37. If Faith dies, she gets this CD and listens to it, she's going to say, 37? Well, if it feels like 36 and that means and it's been 37, then it's been pretty good, all right. Been longer than I thought it was. But anyways, so where were we? Oh, yeah, this man had to come. He had to come to knowing who Jesus was. See, Jesus is not the can unless he is the Lord. I ask you a question. Is he Lord to you? Is he Lord to you? Is he doing anything wrong right now to you? Is he mistreating you? Has he not been good to you?
Yeah.
Every one of you could at least say, God, let me eat something this morning. And he let me get on my tooth. Listen, some of you don't know what it's like to get sick. You're too young yet. You're ignorant about it.
Right.
And I can tell you something, friend, getting old ain't for sissies. So if you're a sissy, don't get old. Stay young. But you ain't going to be able to do that neither. You can't make one hair gray or one hair dark. You can't do it. You ain't going to change it. When it comes, and you ain't stopping it. And if you get not well, then you ain't going to be able to stop it. You know what I mean, don't you? If you get not where you're not well. Are you well? Anyway, when you get where you're going to get there. Yeah, I'm glad you're still walking. You know, if there's nothing else, maybe you can just kick your foot up in here a little bit. Anybody can kick your foot up that high? I ain't supposed to be able to kick my foot. They told me I was going to be in a casket before I left that hospital, basically. Well, they don't know nothing. God's in control. I laid there and looked at them doctors sometimes like, am I supposed to believe you or am I supposed to believe what God's telling me? Because what you're saying ain't what I'm hearing.
Amen. That's good. I'm glad.
I wasn't hearing that. I will say, though, I told you already, those two angels come in my bedroom that night in that hospital room. I know they were there. I thought they'd come to get me. I really did. My wife even was crying. She said, are you going home? I said, someday I'm going home, but I don't know when I'm going home. She said, who's here? And I said, there's some angels. I said, I don't know why they're here. I wasn't scared a bit. If I could have died that night, I had dying grace. I wasn't a bit scared. But what I heard in my heart was that God's angels was there to minister to me and give me strength and raise me back up. And I believed it. I still believe it. You say, oh, it's just a notion. I don't have those kind of notions. I don't even think that way. I don't think about angels. Everybody else got these women angels with wings on them. I don't see those kind. I didn't see that. I see statues at the foot of my bed. I just somehow or another knew they was there. I knew they was present. And I asked the Lord, why were they there? And it was clear in my heart. They're here to take care of you. And Hebrews chapter 1 says so. So I got verses to back me up on it. Their ministering spirit sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of righteousness. So that means I'm an heir of God's righteousness. I'm as good as in heaven already. And I didn't go then, but I'm as good as there now.
Yes, sir. They've done it.
But I know Jesus can. I've had him do it in my life. I'm not just telling you something that's in the Bible. I'm telling you something I've experienced.
That's right.
I'm telling you something I know. I'm telling you I was there when he came. I was there when he spoke to me. I was there when he saved me. I was there when he told me I was forgiven. I happened to be the candidate, and he happened to vote for me. I'm elect. He voted for me. I've been elected because he voted for me. I don't understand why me. Well, I'm telling you what, when you get saved, it'll be just as real to you as it was to me. Now, you may not act like me, and a whole bunch of people in the church might be glad if you get saved and you don't act like me, but nonetheless, you'll have something I got.
Amen.
For me!
Amen.
Everybody in my church don't act like me, but the ones that do almost hurt each other while they're shouting. If you was there when I... Listen, if you'd have heard what I heard, you'd be happy like I'm happy.
That's right.
You'd have been through some things I've been through and even asked the Lord sometimes.
Yeah.
Lord, could I really be saved? You said, you've asked the Lord that? I'm going to be honest with you. I've asked the Lord that. Is this really for me? Or is it really for me? Am I the one you did this for? I'm not asking because I don't know it. I'm asking because it's almost too good to be true. Why, when that leper looked down, he wasn't a leper no more. Who's got to tell him he ain't a leper no more?
That's right.
I'm telling you what, if God ever saves you, ain't nobody going to have to tell you. Let me say something else to you. Come to me this morning. I'm going to say something to you. Y'all hear me? Is everybody listening?
Yeah.
Clay's wife, you listening? You listening? Clay's wife. Amber, I knew it started with A. I wasn't gonna say Antoinette. I just knew it started with an A. I couldn't remember. I'm sorry, honey. I couldn't remember. Sometimes I don't remember my name when I get up in the morning. Who's that guy in the mirror? He looked like the guy that was born in this world when I saw him about 25 years ago. Anyway, let me tell you something, honey. If God ever saves you, it won't matter what anybody thinks, whether you're saved or not.
That's right.
If God saves you, you'll know it.
Amen.
It won't matter what anybody says.
That's right.
When he saves you, you can tell everybody, whether they believe it or not, you can tell them.
Right.
You can tell them. You can tell them, Clay. You can tell them, Jenny. So what if they don't believe it? Well, you can tell them in country language. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I ain't worried about you.
Amen.
I don't know how Englishmen say it that way. I tried to talk like an Englishman last night. She said I sound like a Pakistani, and I said I better quit trying to talk like an Englishman. I don't want to be no Packy. The only thing I Packy is a gun. So anyway, And I still do. Anyway, and I still will. Okay, I made that point. We got that point all made. All right, now let's go on. What this man was supposed to be quarantined. The law was supposed to keep him out of being there. Let me tell you something, Michael. According to law of God, you can't be here lawfully. According to the law of God. Bill, much a friend you are to me as you are and have been to me, you lawfully can't be here. The law would keep everyone, hey, lawfully? I shouldn't be. I'm a Gentile dog.
Right.
I shouldn't be a Zionist. I shouldn't be for Israel. I should be an enemy. I'm a. We sang it this morning. I was a stranger. Yeah. Stranger. Oh, to a Jew, I was just a dog.
Right.
That's all any of us are. Outside of Christ, you got to be made a sheep.
Yeah.
You got to be cleansed. You got to be cleansed. Listen, according to the law, even these sweet young boys and young man here, a little bit more of a young man. Well, still a kid to me. Until you're about 30. Anyway, even according to the law, you ain't innocent, boy. All I have to do is chase you around for a while. I'd say, nope, he ain't innocent no more. Guaranteed. I mean, that one over there surely ain't innocent. He had a hammer hit him in the head one day. He said God was chastising him. So he even knows he's bad. Y'all hear me, ain't you? Some of them, you forgot that happened. I brought that up last time. You forgot that happened. I brought it to him. He said, yeah, that hammer hit me, yeah. And she remembered it. He bruised his old little head up. He said, yeah, God made that hammer hit me in the head because I'm being bad. Woo! Buddy, I'm telling you what, do some of all of us good to realize what we ought to get. Huh? If it weren't for God, wouldn't be a one of you in here. You ain't got the right to be here.
That's right.
The law says you can't be here. Listen to me. If you're lost in your soul and you're here, it's only the goodness of God's got you here right
now.
That's all it is.
That's exactly
but
right.
When God saves you, mm-hmm. You have the right.
That's right.
Enter the Holy of Holies.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. As a sinner, you have the right to come in with the blood of Jesus as a sinner. And approach God. Ha! Woo! Ha! I didn't know all that, man. I got saved, but I knew I approached Him. I knew I cried out to Him. I knew I was lost, and I knew I was wicked, and I deserved hell. And if I'd have got it, I'd have been worthy of it. I knew that in my heart. I didn't know everything that I know now. Don't have to be a theologian to get saved, but you got to know something, and I had to know that. This man had to know Jesus is Lord. He had to know it. I guess my question is, do you know that? Then you got one step forward. So, does that mean I'm closer? Oh, I'm sure you're closer now than you was before you knew it. Because I don't know, can people get closer? Well, did not the Lord say to that scribe in the book of Mark?
Right.
Later on, I think Mark 6, right around verse 12. Thou art not far from the kingdom, somewhere around there. I might be off on my verses, but you can go home and read it and find it. Thou art not far from the kingdom. Well, if you're not far from something, that means you ain't as far as you used to be. How far were you before you found out what you found out? Well, then I must be getting closer. It's not because you're good, it's because of what God's taught you.
That's right.
It's only God that opens up your heart and your head to the things of God. That's it.
Yeah, man. Yep.
But this man was condemned. Let me tell you first. So is this your first point? Well, as points go, in the outline, this would be my first point as points go. But I done pointed you already. He realized his leprosy. He realized it. And even realizing it, he still came in and got close to Jesus. You know you're a sinner? How bad of a sinner? How bad have I got to get? You ain't got to get no worse than you are, honey. I'll guarantee you. You know how we become enemies of God? By wicked, and here's what he said in Colossians 1, wicked thoughts. You're made an enemy of God just in your thinking. Don't you tell me you ain't had some bad thinking. And then wicked works. You know what always follows the thinking? as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen, when lust hath conceived, it has to start somewhere, and every man's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Right.
Well, it's that woman's fault. She hadn't been dressed like that. Why can't you turn your head and say, God, forgive me for even thinking anything, and help me, Lord, not to look.
Right.
He just read it this morning. If a man looks at a woman to lust at her after, he's committed adultery with her in his heart already if he looks at her that way.
Right.
If he looks with that intent. Now, I know there's some things you see, all you just, you're there. You're at Walmart, and all of a sudden, there she is. I'm telling you, right in front of you, bending over. I'm telling you, it's sick. And you go, oh, Lord, I didn't come in here for that. So I send my wife to Walmart. I haven't been to Walmart one time this summer, I think. No, I ain't going to lie. I've been there one time. I went to get some salt pellets for the thing we got in the house. Softener. Water softener. Yeah. I'll tell you, you don't want to go some places in the summer. One preacher said, well, I let my people go to those pools, those slides, you know, those water slides. And I just tell my men, you know, you just make sure you wear long shorts down below your knee, and you wear some kind of undershirt. I said, yeah, and then you got that girl standing in front of you on the stairs with nothing on, and you're looking eyeball to eyeball with it. I never thought about that, brother. You never thought about that, brother. I know you're so holy, and you've come along so far, you can even listen to Well and Willing the Boys, and it's okay now. Oops! Don't you give me that stuff. Your flesh will go wrong.
That's right.
You feed it the wrong thing, it'll have the wrong stuff.
Exactly right.
How'd you get off on this? Thinking about the fact that you need to realize who you are. That's what. That's how. He realized his leprosy. In fact, he was at such a place, nobody had to tell him anymore he was a leper. But listen, there was a time he had to be told he was a leper.
That's right.
Who told him? Who told him he was a leper? The priest told him he was a leper. Now, if you go back and you study the Old Testament law, a man who was a leper would go to the, and today that'd be the preacher. And he said, I got a spot here on my arm. I don't know what it is for sure. And the preacher would look at it and say, ooh, that looks like a leprosy spot. You know what he had to do? He had to quarantine him in a room for 7 days, leave him in there, see if it spread and if it got more whiter. Or if it did other things. I can't remember all the things. A little yellow hair in there or something like that. And if it started growing that kind of stuff, then the preacher would look at him and say, you're a leper.
That's right.
So who pronounced him a leper?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, friend. It's the foolishness of preaching that saves
That's
people.
Right.
If you ain't got a preacher that tells you the truth, you ain't going to know who you are. You ain't going to know why you're a sinner. You got to have a preacher.
Right.
How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We got a bunch of them that went to school and got put out like a bunch of broomstick handles. They ain't got no call of God in their life at all.
Right.
They ain't got no God in them.
That's right.
Because they went to school and learned how to do it. Yeah, and you can tell when they get in the pulpit, they learn how to do it all right. You get clock-eyed Baptists, that's why you got so many of them in most churches. Whew, man, I hope this guy gets done soon. See, if you really realize who you are, how are you going to realize it? See, that's the reason that he told him at the end of the chapter. And I'm not going to go to all them verses right now. But he said, go show yourself to the priest. Remember after he was cleansed, Jesus told him, go show yourself to the priest? You know why? Because he was going to go back to the one who told him he was a leper. And he was going to have him look at him. And he was going to have to pronounce him clean. And then he's going to say, how'd this happen to you? And he's going to have to tell him about Jesus. And you know what that synagogue fella didn't believe? He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. So you're going to go back for a testimony to prove that I'm who I said I am.
That's
and
right.
That I'm the one that did this for you.
Amen. Amen.
And it was also the preacher who pronounced him clean.
That's right.
And he did it by peering and looking and examining. And any preacher that don't examine what his people got don't care about their soul.
That's right.
I lost about 4 or 5 people just like that. Right after camp meeting, a couple years, camp meetings ago, and it was my fault, of course, because I got up and chewed them out. That was my fault. Instead of them getting right, it was my fault. instead of them saying, "Preacher, you're right, we're wrong," complaining and grumbling like a bunch of Israelites in their tents. I told them they was lost. I told them, I said, if the Bible says that man that grumbles and complains like that dies in unbelief in the wilderness. But I made an announcement. I'm going to be coming to y'all's house to hear how you got saved. I want to hear your testimony, because I ain't heard some of y'all's testimonies. I'm going to come to hear you. They left the church. Now, how many people would leave the church because the preacher was going to find out how they got saved? If I ask you how you got saved, and I sat down with you and asked you how you got saved, couldn't you tell me? And if you can't tell me, can't tell me, you ain't got nothing. And if you tell me something that ain't got nothing, I'm going to go like this and say, well, you still got spots over there. Amen. Amen. And they ain't going to want to hear that. So that's why most folk don't go to the preacher to find out stuff. Whoopee. Yeah. We having fun yet? Now listen, this man could have hid that leprosy for a long time. He could have hid it. He could have wore long sleeve shirts. But sooner or later, something starts climbing up the neck, gets on the ears and stuff, gets in the nose. You ever see pictures of lepers losing half of their face and stuff? Because, see, leprosy don't stop with one spot. It continues on until it contaminates you completely. And there is no medical cure for it. There's none. If the Lord don't do it, it won't get done. So he covered up for a while, but that's why he couldn't cover it no more. It got to bothering him. And listen, if you've ever been condemned by the law, you'll know what I'm talking about. If the law's ever condemned you, I'm going to tell you this. If you get saved and you say you ain't never been condemned by the law, and you're under no condemnation, and the law doesn't ever, you never feel guilty because you don't have to, you don't even understand how the law works in a saint either. You still got a problem with the law of God. You got a problem with yourself. You still think, I can still do what I want, and I'm still saved. It doesn't matter because I'm never condemned anymore. Whoever heard such a thing as that? You're welcome. Don't believe that. You heard me. I don't believe that. Amen. Amen. Brother Tim, I don't either. Glory to God. Amen. You ain't going to do it. I'll do it. I'll do it to me. Amen. Amen. It's so. I'm telling you. This man was a leper.
Yeah.
Nobody had to tell him he was a leper, but he went and got told he was. Mm-hmm. And when he got healed, he was supposed to go back to the same one who told him, so that he could examine him and Amen. See if it was so.
Amen.
And if you really got healed and you got cleansed and you got saved, you don't mind telling the one who told you you won. Mm-hmm. Yippee! That's right. That's right. Tell me what happened to you. Tell me, I know, according to the Bible, I know what the Bible says happens when you get saved. So tell me, what did you suffer? What did you go through? How did you feel about yourself? Most of the time, somebody feels real condemned, they'll even bow their head like that old publican did and smote on their breast and say, God, be merciful. I'm the wicked sinner. You're going to look at me. You've got to look at me through the blood because I ain't got nothing else to show for.
Right.
I know this ain't nothing new to some of you. I can tell right now. This is just a bunch of old historical truth. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When it becomes more than history, it becomes something you find out about yourself.
Amen.
Quarantine. A man in my church come up to me the other day and goes, and then he wipes his hand and then he shakes my hand. He said, I went to the doctor this week to check me for TB. What? They start quarantining if I had TB. Hey, come on. You're brain dead, man. Woo! I'm telling you something, friend. I'm telling you, if you get around sin, sin gets around you. It'll contaminate you. That's why you gotta quarantine yourself. Some places you need to get away from.
Yeah.
The law needs to separate us from some things.
That's exactly right.
But listen to this now. The law separated them from being around that which was clean. Man, I thought I was supposed to get around clean stuff. You're supposed to learn this, friend. You're so unclean that when you get around clean stuff, you mess up clean stuff. Can a clean thing come out of an unclean? I think Job said, not one. Huh? 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 I've been doing it at my church a lot. I don't know why. I just all of a sudden I'm going, huh? I think they know I want a response. Huh? Well, huh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute, preacher. First off, I ain't even supposed to be here, but I am. That's grace of God to let you be here. Well, if I'm that bad, then I shouldn't be around anything. Exactly. You ought to know really who you are. You ought to know it's the grace and the goodness of God, and you can be around it.
Right.
Don't take it for granted.
That's right.
Don't take advantage of it either.
Oh, no.
In some ways, sinners ought to hang their head in shame for the disease they got in them.
Yeah.
See, if you're lost, you don't really understand loving like you should, really, to be honest with you.
Right.
Don't look at me like that. You don't really understand loving like you ought to.
Right.
And you really won't understand it until you get saved. You're welcome. I ain't here to make no apologies to you. You really think you understand what love is, right? You don't. I'm not sorry. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches.
Right.
God is love. Well, you can understand. Well, I can understand His love when I look at the cross. You can't get the full import of it till you get saved. That He loves you. You don't even know how to love somebody else right until then. You really don't. Well, I heard a message just this morning. I listened to a man preach a message this morning. And he used the verse that you read this morning, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And he said, one of the things about me as a preacher, he said, most of the time, I'm having to try to make peace because there's so much war going on in people. And he said, one of the most difficult things in the world is to give people peace in this day we're living in. There's so much turmoil and so many problems in the world. He said, it'd be easier just to kick them in the tail and tell them to get out and don't want to see your face no more. Well, they're supposed to be gone anyways, ain't they, according to the law? Man, I'd hear them say, you look better going than you do coming. I don't feel that way.
No, sir.
Because if they leave, they ain't going to get no help.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you this. Within a 50-mile radius of my church, I don't know one church preaches the truth. I'm being honest. I'm telling you, I don't know one in a 50-mile radius that preaches the truth. So he said, oh, there's got to be one around here. Find him. Let me fellowship. I need somebody to fellowship with. I need some preacher to pray with. Talk to the Bible about it. Eat some breakfast with him. Talk to him about what I've been reading and sit across the table from him and have some tea. Me and Brother Justin, man, we sat across the table from each other a couple nights and got to crying about the truth of God. Enjoy that kind of stuff. Ain't nobody around there to do it with. Then the one that was one that I thought, he took two of my church families, took them in. It was giving me trouble. Called me on the phone. He said, I'm going to try to help them. Yeah. Like I didn't or something. The guy going to slap me in the face. I couldn't help him, but maybe you can. 30-year-old punk. I didn't want to. I'm sorry. You shouldn't feel that way. Well, I'm sorry. That's how I feel. I mean, man's supposed to believe what I believe, and he takes in two. The one family took in, the boy was crawling through the window in the middle of the night, laying with another girl in the church at our church. Rode his bicycle to her house in a snowstorm. The only reason they knew, because the bicycle tires in the snow. Then when I confirmed the dad, he left the church because mama loved her boy more than she did the truth and took her husband out and took him down to another church. That was the guy supposed to be my friend. He took him in. When they was under church discipline for not disciplining their own son for what he's doing and knowing it. Isn't that what kind of stuff is that? What's going on? The only reason I'm telling you this is because that means I got nobody around there to fellowship with. Don't listen, the only person I got around there to fellowship with that's the closest to me is my wife. I'm serious. Then my son, he's preaching, and he's a preacher, and I get along with him just fine. Because he has to get along with me, that's why. But anyways, I get along with him just fine. And the men of my church, I got a fishing buddy. And, you know, he's black, man. Y'all met him, Brother Jesse. And I'll tell you what, last time I went out with him, I outfished him. It sure is something to outfish a black man, I'm telling you. And I rubbed it in. He said, yeah, well, he said, you're my entertainment. So anyways, y'all still with me, I hope.
Yeah.
God loves you He loves you as a leper. And He'll receive you as you are. You think about it, He'll receive you as you are. You say, well, I'm not really that bad. I'm not, you know, here's an illustration I used at the church. Could you imagine? He come in. He's only got one little spot on his arm, and he says, "You got to go to the leper colony." And he goes over there and he starts sitting in that leper colony. He gets in there and he sits down over there. And he looks over here and he sees this guy with his arm hanging off almost. The only thing holding his arm on is a couple of ligaments. His arm's done eat up with leprosy. His hand ain't got no life in it, no veins going to. It's just hanging there, dead meat. You know, first thing come to my mind, what he'd think? I don't belong here. I'm not as bad off as he is. You know, first thing comes to my mind about some sinners, they think because they ain't as bad off as other sinners that they ain't as bad off. They don't see themselves just as bad off, and that's why they're there. But they don't see it because they just got one little spot there. Then they look over here on this side over here, and they see a woman over there, toes all eat off, she can't even wear shoes, fingers off down to the nubs, ears all eat off of leprosy. And he's got one little spot on his arm. He's got to live with them other lepers. I ain't as bad as her. How come I got to be here? And you know what Paul said? When you compare yourself to somebody else, you're not wise. You need to see yourself as God sees you. God said you're bad enough to live there. You got to agree with God. You got to see yourself that way. Come on, you're just going to have to come to God as a sinner. The only thing he requires is a sinner to come to him. Right. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, by the way, to repentance is not in the NIV. I wonder why. I guess maybe because that lesbian that sat on the translator's table, we didn't want that repentance in there. Oh, did you know that a lesbian sat on the table of translators? Yeah. Tells me I wouldn't want an NIV only for one thing. Start a fire this winter in the fireplace. Right. And if you soak it real good in oil, it'll burn a little longer. Hey, man. Well, he realized his leprosy.
Yep.
He realized it. And it is in Luke 5. It's in Luke 5:21 where it says he was full of leprosy. Now, I told you this already, and this is my second point. He realized Christ's lordship. And I already brought that up, but I brought it up a while back. And the reason I brought it up a while back is because I wanted to remind you, at the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. He realized Christ's lordship. Now go back in the text and look with me in Mark chapter 1. And it says in verse 40, there came a leper to him. Now that's telling me that the sinner has a position here. And what's his position? He came to Jesus. That's his position right now. He's cast out, but his position right now is he came to Jesus. Now, that's a pretty good place to find yourself, I believe. So the sinner's position is found here. He came to him, and then the sinner's plea is found here, beseeching him. The word beseeching means begging, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, look what he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, there's no magical words that you can use. There's no magic words. Would you give me the sinner's prayer, preacher? You know what the sinner's prayer is? Whatever the sinner says to God. That's the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is whatever you say to God. It's not what I say to tell you to God. But it's what God's revealed to you about who you are. The sinner's prayer. He's so tired. A man asked me one time before I left General Motors and went into the ministry. He said, have you ever prayed to receive Christ? I said, what? Never heard such language in my life. Have you ever prayed to receive Christ? And I said, will you show me where that's at in the Bible? Will you pray to receive Christ? I said, now listen, I want to tell you something, pal. I said, that ain't much different than what the Campbellites say. Have you been baptized to receive Christ? Right. Well, now I will say this. I prayed. I did pray. I cried out to God. I did pray. But I'll tell you what. I know the guy. I know where he came from. If I'd have said, well, no, I haven't. Would you help me pray to receive Christ? Because I don't know how to pray. You know what he'd have done? He'd have led me in a prayer. He would have. I didn't put him to it because I knew that wasn't how he got saved, no how. And at the time he asked me that, I wasn't saved. I was a Baptist preacher, but I wasn't saved. I said, well, I've prayed. I didn't tell him any more than that because it got him off my back. I said, I've prayed. I asked the Lord to save me when I was 14 years old, 1970. I remember it. I still remember going in that room with that missionary, and that missionary said, "Well, you're the preacher's kid. You know how to get saved." That's where he left me. I knew how to get saved. No, I didn't know how to get saved. I was a mess. I didn't know how to get saved. I didn't want to go to hell. If he'd have asked me, did I want to follow Jesus, he'd have found out I didn't want to get saved, really. I just didn't want to go to hell. I'm serious. I mean that. I'm serious as a heart attack. I know how serious that is. I've had a few of them. You hear me? You hear me right, friend? Listen, you don't deal with somebody where you know what to do. You don't know. They don't. You don't take that for granted from any of them. I don't take it for granted from you. You know what to do. Well, I know you know that the Bible says repent. And you know the Bible says believe. Well, I'm going to say something. That wasn't even in his language. That man ended up leaving the church. He was pastoring as a missionary with the piano player, and that piano player wasn't his wife. It'd be all right if she had been his wife and he left with her. But we out down there in a Sunday school when I was 14 years old, he said, you know what to do. You're the preacher's son. You know what to do. You don't take for granted anybody knows what to do, friend. You better find out if they know what to do. And you better find out. Listen, if you're going to help somebody, you better find out who they are and what they know about it. So I made that profession when I was 14. I went on with that one for a while after I went out in the woods and smoked cigarettes the next day and cussed with my friends. You know, and then that verse came, that old Baptist preacher preached, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. And I went, well, now I'm in trouble. I didn't change one iota.
That's right.
I didn't tell nobody, I didn't tell none of my buddies I got saved that night before on Sunday night at church. I didn't tell none of them. They didn't know. Because I didn't get saved, that's why.
Right.
And then I went through life from the time I was 14 until God, He had to reveal it to me. Boy, you got leprosy. You still got it in you. Now, in my flesh, I'm going to tell you something. In my flesh, well, it's no good thing. In my flesh, I still have some leprosy in my flesh, but I'm not a leper anymore. Oh, how can that be? Because in my soul and in my spirit, I'm a soul saved. I'm already there. According to the book of Ephesians, I'm seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm already seated in heavenly places. Right at this point, right now. Now, come on with me. Y'all all right? See, I done preached past noon. I already know that. How do you know? Because I heard the Big Mac attack just a little bit ago. Hey, look at my watch. I didn't even have to. I heard it. I done saw it on your face. Preacher, it's time for you to finish this thing up now. I will.
Amen.
But he realized Christ's lordship.
Yeah.
Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. It's in the verse. If thou wilt. What does that word wilt mean? If you determine to do it, that's what it means. That's what that word wilt right there means. It's God's determination. It's God's decree. It's God's choice. If you choose to do it. But then he said this, thou canst. Now let me tell you something, friend. There's going to have to be faith in it. He didn't say, well, I hope you will. I hope you can. If you will, you can. You said it wasn't no magical thing. No, it's got to be in your heart. You got to understand it like this man understood it. If thou wilt. This is what this man said. If thou wilt. Did his words mean anything to Jesus? Did he have to prove that he believed to Jesus? Listen, now, Lord, I believe. I want you to know I believe. I'm believing right now. Okay, God, I'm believing. I'm believing. Well, nothing happened. Must not have believed. You don't have to tell God you believe. You don't have to tell God you believe. I believe you, God. I finally believe you. You don't have to tell him that. I remember telling him that. I don't remember telling him that at all. Somehow or another, I did. I did believe. I say, how? It was the work of God. It's called the faith of Jesus Christ.
That's
what it's called in the Bible. The faith of Jesus Christ. Where? Galatians 2:20, smart aleck. That's where. It's not my faith. It's his faith he gave to me. I didn't have none.
That's right. That's right.
you don't, listen. How do you come up with this faith business then? All I know to tell you is what this man come to know was enough.
That's right.
If thou wilt, thou canst. Does it sound like he believed Jesus could do something for him? Thou canst. You can. You can make me clean. Now I know nothing would contaminate the Son of God. I know that. But Jesus never went against the law, ever. Even in his ministry, he never went against the law. Now listen, if that man had leprosy, according to the Old Testament, the priest in the Old Testament could not touch that leper till he was cleansed. Now get my drift here. I got to go back to the verses and look at them with you, and then I'll be done. I am getting close. I'm getting close now, okay? Just want you to know. Getting close. Okay? But I'm not all the way there yet. But it says this, that Jesus, in verse 41, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Now look at this. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him.
Yep.
There's your answer right there.
Yep.
As soon as he spoke the word to that man, he was cleansed. Then he touched him. You want to know when the touch comes? See, you know what some folk are looking for? They're looking for a touch right now. And the touch will come when you get cleansed. It will. Now, you're hearing things, and it's touching your heart and what you're hearing. But the touch of God's altogether different than that even. How can God move in you and not touch you? Okay, I'm going to move in, but I'm not going to touch him. Okay, I'm over here in my own little corner. You kidding? Man, if you go to somebody's house, you touch everything in it. He moved in my house. Hey, the heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain him. And he moved in my heart. Don't ask me how. It's a miracle.
That's exactly right. Right.
God with you.
Yeah.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
How can a God that the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain move into the heart of a man? And yet be everywhere else all the time too. Do you believe that? You better. And if you don't, you don't know what you're missing. We were singing a song the other day, Search Me, O God, at the church. And it hit me. The last verse is, Oh, Holy Ghost. Revival comes from thee. Man, it hit me that in my flesh I can say, oh Holy Ghost, what a privilege to have God the Holy Ghost be so close you can talk to him and tell him your need. I'm only going to ask you this one time right now. Do you believe that Christ is Lord? That's all that man had to know about Christ, who he was. Do you also believe that if he will, he can? Now, I'm closing with these. I've used this term before. I've used these terms before. Faith. Let's see. Great faith. Faith says God can. Great faith says God will. Saving faith says God did. I had to think for a minute how I said it. Faith says God can. Now hear me. There was a time in my life, Dan, I sat in church services, and I knew God could save, but I didn't know he could save me. Of all people, I knew he could save anybody else. But I really had a hard time believing he could save me. I really did. I had a hard time believing he could save me. And I wasn't being, I don't really believe I was being wanting sympathy or nothing. Here's what I thought. I could understand why God would love everybody else and not me. I could understand it. I really could. Because I never could understand why there was anything in me. And we sang this morning, that song you led this morning about God loving us? What was the title of that song? Why should he love me so? I think the reason that song touched me so much now, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I still wonder why he loves me so much. I'm being serious, I mean it. I ain't just saying that. I know me. See, you don't live with me. I live with me. I live with me every day, and I know me. And I don't know why he loves me so much as he does even now. If you don't ever feel that way and you say you're saved, I don't know if you're saved or not. I really can't understand how anybody, well, I know why he loves me because I'm, you know, no. No, well, when God got me, he really got somebody. Are you kidding? That's pride, man. I don't want to do that. I wonder why does he love me so? But one day, I don't even understand altogether how it happened. But somehow or another came to the conclusion in my heart, I don't know how to even happen. God could save me. Oh, business started picking up. And then somehow, he will save me.
Amen.
He's going to save me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how quick the did came, but it was real close. The did got real close. Why did my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so? I'm here to tell you. I'm glad that old preacher said that time. He said, I wondered why God loved me before he saved me. Now I wonder so many times why he loves me since he saved me. Right. And I didn't understand all of it then, but I'm getting older and I'm getting to understand a whole lot more about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We sing it. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin.
Yeah.
Revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I don't know how he did it all. I really don't. I know my daddy took me to Camp Zion. And for the first time in my life, I can honestly say, I couldn't tell you what it was at that time, but man, how it was. Woo. Like God said, I'm real and I'm here. And for the first time in my life, I knew God was real and I knew He was there. And God helped me that week. He helped me so much that week. I don't even know what all He said and what all He did, but I know He waylaid me good a few times. I never got over it. Listen. If you ever get around where God really is, and you know, you see, I don't understand. And why did he? I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and use some terms that scare people. He chose me. I'm just going to say it. He did. I'm sorry to make some people so upset, but he did. He chose me. I don't understand why it makes some people so mad. Because I was always the one that was on the other team that nobody wanted. When we all got lined up, he said, I want you, Tim, on my side. Boy, I know we're going to win. He's the home run hitter. Woo! It ain't because I'm good at the bat. Because he's going to, if I do get on base, if I happen to make it, he's going to knock me home. Woo!
Amen.
Was it that real? Yeah. Yeah. He realized his condition. He realized his leprosy. But he also recognized the lordship of Christ. He recognized it. And didn't just use words. Then my last thought is, he was restored to life. But he was also restored without the law condemning him anymore. Because see, the law only condemned you if you had that leprous disease. Guess what? When Jesus did what he did, there was no condemnation anymore in that arena. He now is, listen, as a leper, he couldn't even pick up his own grandson or his own granddaughter. My little grandson Dawson, every time I come in house, I call him Buster. I don't know why. I got nicknames for all my grandkids. Hey, Buster! He'll hear me. He'll come running around the hall. And if he's got a toy in his hand, he puts it on the floor and he goes like that. If I was a leper, I couldn't call him Buster. I couldn't come home. I couldn't pick him up. That's how bad a sinner is. He ain't got no right. When the Lord starts moving around and does things, when that little grandson puts that toy down, usually it's a little round ball of some kind, he puts that thing down. I know what he's going to do every time he puts it down. He looks up at me, gives that big smile. He looks just like Daniel when he was a little boy. He sets that ball down, whatever, he ain't going. Every time. He's kind of like a little puppy dog or a kitten. You know, you ain't got to hold him very long. Oh, I don't hold kittens anyway. But hold him by the back of her head like this. But anyway, you know what I mean. But you just, you know, he's like a little, you know a little puppy dog? You only got to hold him for a little while, and then you put him down. They're okay. They go back again, what they're doing. I'll hold him for a minute. I'll kiss him on his, I'll hug him, and he'll put his head down on my shoulder, and I'll say, hey, good, see you, Buster. And I'll hug you, rub his back, and then put him down. He's happy. He gets his toy back up and goes back around. That's all he needed. But you know, if it was a leper, I couldn't do that. You know, you know what? If you don't make it to heaven, you ain't going to be hugging nothing in hell. That's why, ooh. Don't think, now, listen. Don't think about that unless you really want to get under conviction or something, you know, about where you're going because of who you are. Do you really, listen, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe you're a candidate of hell? I'm going to say this and we'll close with it. If you ain't saved, I hate to tell you this. That is your destination. You say, but I'm going to get saved because of what I'm hearing and what I'm doing. I got news for you, friend. You better do what you know to do now. You better do it. You better do it while you got time. You say, well, I'm healthy. Yeah, I was down there in Pigeon Forge this past week, and you know, all them people are down there, you know, to have a good time. This family got up that morning not thinking about it, but they were T-boned so hard it crinkled that car right in half. I don't know if anybody was really hurt bad or not, but that car was in a mess. I'm sure they didn't get up that morning thinking, well, we're going to have a wreck today. Hallelujah. Let's get in the car and go. Say, well, are you just trying to... I'm telling you the truth, friend. I'm just telling you. All I know to tell you is when you hear his voice, you better not harden your heart like the preacher said this morning. You better just... Listen. I'm done. I'm done. But he was restored to life. What he had lost as a leper, Jesus restored everything that he lost as a leper back. I got one more good news thing to tell you. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. I'm going to say this to you. I want to lay it out here to you. Jesus fixed it so good that there's no chance of it ever happening again. When you get to heaven, there'll be never again a fall. You'll be safe. Listen. Adam messed us up. I said that in the hospital. I said, well, we don't thanks to Adam for where I'm at. I mean, man, we die because as in Adam, all die. But the last part of that verse is good. So in Christ shall all be made alive. In other words, Adam messed it up. Jesus fixed it up so good. I'll never have a back problem in heaven. I'll never have a heart problem in heaven. I'll never be sick again. I'll never have to worry about falling into sin or sin taking any man down ever again. It'll never happen again. He's fixed it so good, it's eternally fixed. It's eternally restored to life.
Yeah.
With no worry about it ever messing up again. I didn't say you ain't going to mess up. But what Jesus fixed up, he fixed up so good, Adam can't ever mess it up again. And no other one that comes out of Adam can ever mess it up again. Is that good news to you or not? When you get saved and you get fixed up all the way that way. Thank God that ought to make you run around the church five times. I'm so saved it's pitiful. Huh? It's permanent. It purifies, cleanses. And he can do it. I felt like the Lord just wanted me to start there this week. He can. And I think that ought to be a good theme in your soul this week. Jesus can. He can. If thou wilt, thou canst. He can. Here's an example of what he can do right here. I believe every story in the New Testament is written for our learning that we might believe. That's why it's there. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for letting us be together. And I do know, Lord, if you'll make this real to somebody's heart this morning, I do know this afternoon now, I do know, Lord, if you'll make it real to their heart, they can be cleansed. I know you can cleanse. And Lord, you must keep us clean too. The blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanseth us. Lord, that the reason it does, because we need a constant cleansing. We need to be always cleaned up. Because in ourselves, we ain't got no good thing. We know that more and more every day, Lord, the longer we live. What I ask you, Lord, is that somehow you just would echo these words in some sinner's heart who's got leprosy and knows it, that you can. You can. So I pray, God, you just help now. I've done my best to do what I felt led to do this morning, what I felt like you asked me to do. And now we're here, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and so I preach so that they would hear. And I'm asking you, Lord, I'm asking you to take away the devil of unbelief, the wicked heart of unbelief. Lord, I pray you to overpower in it, overshadow this place with your divine truth, and we'll thank you for it. We'll thank you in the blessed, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Well, Audrey, I want you just to play a verse.